With dementia, we know we're going to get a bazillion opportunities to practice.
You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello, I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. Welcome to episode 59 of The Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. My goal is always to empower you and your family to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. As the care partner for someone living with dementia, it's highly likely that you often feel powerless in your role as caregiver. However, Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, says that you have a superpower, something that is a game changer and is essential to your success. So, Christy, in prior episodes, you've touched on caregivers having a superpower, but I imagine the majority of our care partners out there feel powerless oftentimes. So for them to actually think about even having a superpower is probably beyond comprehension. So it's going to be a very good episode today, listening to you explain how they can use this superpower.
Well, I think you hit on something that is really universal when you love someone who's living with dementia, and that is that feeling of powerlessness and being so out of control and just so desperately wishing that there was something you could do to fix it, to make it better. And it's just, it's that gut-churning feeling of what can I do? How can I help? And this is why I love telling people about their superpower and what they can do, because they're always amazed. They're surprised.
I imagine so, because I've never heard anyone else use the term, and I'm sure it knocks people back a little bit. But yeah, getting out of that fix-it mode and how I can actually help and be have a better interaction today is going to be very interesting for you to share how we can do that.
Yeah. So I just think it's one of those things that's so obvious. Once it's explained, it's like, oh, duh, really? But it is simply stepping into your person's reality, stepping into that moment with them. Because often our tendency is we want to remind them of where we are and what objective reality is. And we feel like if we just remind them of that, then ta-da, they'll be able to do that. And it sounds silly as I'm describing it, right? But in the moment when we're having, you know, an interaction where somebody's confused about the day or the time or what's happening, we use that reason and logic part of our brain that works well for us, but not for our person. And we just kind of go into autopilot mode and end up blurting out something that in retrospect, we can see, well, that didn't work. But at the time, it seems like a good idea, which is so often how we can end up in trouble, right? Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Instead, when we recognize, okay, we know that reason and logic isn't something that works in their brain now in the way that it used to, so that's not a good approach. If we just step into their reality, we use our superpower because in that moment with them, when we are joining them where they are, we're able to say, I've got you right now. It's going to be okay. So they may be feeling anxious or full of fear, and we are able to manipulate that reality for them to give them a sense of peace, a sense of security. That's why I call it a superpower, because when you can do that for another human being, that is, I mean, I just don't even know how much better it could possibly get.
That is a great superpower. And what I'm thinking, however, is it's a superpower that has to be unlocked. You have to, it's not a superpower that the vast majority of caregivers, care partners are going to have at the beginning, because they're still going to be trying to fix their loved one. They're still going to be in denial that their loved one is in a different reality. And as they're zooming around the house, doing all these caregiver and life responsibilities, they're in that today's reality, right? And to flip the switch, if you will, or to slow down and recognize that your loved one's in a different reality and to go there with them, it's going to take a lot of practice and a lot of, it's going to take some time.
Everybody kind of has their own speed, right, for sure. And some people do struggle more than others with accepting what is. And I always talk about, there's that big breach oftentimes between what we're able to grasp intellectually and then when we're able to really grasp it emotionally, right? Okay. So intellectually, we understand that this is the situation, this is what's going on, we get it. Emotionally, and in those moments when we could really make a difference, a lot of times that's where we're still struggling to grasp it. And we find that out in real time as we're managing a situation that in retrospect, we wish we had managed differently. The other thing, And I, you know, I tell my clients this all the time, and it is so important for everyone to remember. The more you practice, the better you'll get. So we're never aiming for perfection, because where humans are involved, we just won't find it. But the more we do something, anything, the better at it we'll get, the more ingrained it becomes. So we're constantly building neural pathways in our brain, right? And that's what allows us in the morning to, you know, we wake up and we don't have to really consciously think of what happens next. Even if we're not a morning person, okay, get out of bed, go to the bathroom, get some coffee, let the dogs out, feed the cat, hit the shower, move on with your day, right? And I didn't even mention brushing your teeth, because I didn't have to, because that's just something we all do. And why? Because we've been doing this routine for so long that there's that groove, right? That neural pathway that's been created. We just, it's our go-to moves. It's morning time, boom, we know what to do. The more we practice using our superpower, stepping into that moment with our person, and meeting them where they are, that becomes ingrained. And this is like with any other habit or pattern that you want to form. The more we do it, we're building that neural pathway so that then it can ultimately become our go-to move.
That makes a lot of sense, and I'm happy you explained it that way. I can see that now. So how does a care partner know where their loved one is? How do they know where to go to be with them, if you will?
Well, typically our person is going to give us lots of clues about that, right? So usually we have that moment of opportunity when we can make the conscious choice to step into the moment with them. So often the choice will be between using our superpower and getting into an argument. And when I put it that way, with those two stark choices, you know which one you'd rather do, right?
Absolutely.
So it could be something like our person says, you know, I'm sure that the neighbor is watching, and I don't know why. I don't know why he has it out for me, but I know that he's watching. So our natural tendency would be to say, Mom, what are you talking about? Like, you know, the neighbor passed away last year, or, you know, he's at work, or Joe's a nice guy. You've known him for 40 years. He'd never do that. Or look, the drapes are drawn. In other words, using reason and logic. And if our person is saying something like that to us, first of all, let's not gloss over the fact that what they're expressing is fear.
Right.
That's what's under this, right? So let's go to that. That's the great opportunity then to step into that moment with them and say, oh my gosh, Mom, I can see you're really upset about this. Move in for a hug, put your arm around her, hold her hand. And you, again, verbally and non-verbally, you know what? I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you while I'm here. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to make sure you're safe. You can say any of those things to offer reassurance and let your person know you are right in this with them. You are shoulder to shoulder, side by side. You are 100% on their team.
That's a much better image than dismissing it and creating that contentious moment where now they're put on, you know, they're put on defense because they truly believe all this in their heart. That's what they're feeling. And by doing what you said, then you've totally changed that relationship and that interaction. That's awesome.
Right. And you can see where that also gives you the opportunity to strengthen your bond, right? Instead of unintentionally creating an adversarial relationship. Or adversarial moments where your person may not remember the exact details of the interaction, but it kind of leaves them with a bad taste in their mouth, right? And you don't ever want them associating you with anything negative. So it's just, there's so much opportunity in those moments. And again, I know from firsthand experience, a lot of the stuff that comes out of my mouth sounds really simple. And it is, but that, you know, we never equate simple with easy, right? So simple strategies may not be easy at first because we just don't have the practice with actually using them. And with dementia, we know we're going to get a bazillion opportunities to practice. So don't beat yourself up if you don't feel like you've nailed it. You know, the first time, the first 10 times, the first 100 times, because you'll continuously be given opportunities to get it right. And the more you do it, not only will will you become better at it, but it will just come more naturally to you because, again, you're creating those neural pathways and you're also creating a positive feedback loop where your person is, of course, then feeling like they can, you know, they are close to you. They can express fears that may be going through their brain. And depending on the type of dementia, with the example I used of, you know, having this thought that the neighbor's doing something that objectively you know is not true, if it's dementia with Lewy bodies, for example, that person, you may be able to fish a little bit more information out of the person by saying something like, oh, I can see that's really upsetting to you. Where did this idea come from? Or what makes you think that? Or I've never heard you say anything like that before. What's going on? Because often people with dementia with Lewy bodies are able to distinguish the difference, but they kind of need to talk it through first and will come to a conclusion of, well, I know this isn't real, but it feels real. That's, of course, typically not the case for somebody, say, with Alzheimer's disease, right?
That's very interesting. So, I didn't realize. I mean, I know there's a lot of differences between the dementias, but it's always very interesting to me to hear you explain in detail the exact differences in Lewy body, for instance, versus Alzheimer's. I find that because it's so important for us to really understand what type of dementia we have or our loved one has, because then we can use different techniques and strategies, right?
I do think it's really helpful for that exact reason, so that you can do probably what's going to be most helpful. But that said, you know, if Well, most people these days, I was just in a committee meeting talking about this yesterday afternoon. Most people these days have a diagnosis of just plain old dementia, and it's given at a primary care physician's office, and it doesn't really go past that. So it's difficult to know kind of exactly what type unless a diagnosis has been done at usually a neuropsychologist's office. So if you don't have that exact diagnosis for your loved one, don't fret. You can still, again, use your superpower by stepping into that moment, kind of looking for the emotion behind what's going on. And the main thing, really, when we really break it down, is that as humans, we all need to be seen and heard. We need to have that feeling that we are important to another human being, that they get us, that they're actually, you know, what we're expressing is important. And often as care partners, as especially less experienced care partners or newer care partners, we go a lot with our instinct because we just don't know any other techniques or skills to employ. So we think, you know, I love this person and go with my instincts, it's probably going to be okay. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. But where our instinct can lead us in a situation like this is to use reason and logic rather than digging just that little bit deeper and going, okay, this, you know, my person is so vulnerable right now. They're, you know, and to use the word terrified is often not being hyperbolic. People can really have that moment where they feel completely terrified and they're so vulnerable. What they're doing is really just asking us for help and kind of keeping that the overall frame of with dementia, somebody's whole brain is under attack. So it's about more than memory loss. And they really are counting on us to remember at all times that no matter what they're expressing, or if it's something that we consider so-called behavior or communication we don't enjoy necessarily, what they're really trying to express to us is, my brain is under attack, please help me. And that's where they're coming from. And so if we can kind of keep that in mind, then when these moments of opportunity come up to use our superpower to step into that moment with them, it just feels, that instinctively feels like the right thing to do, because we do want to offer that reassurance. We want to bring the good stuff, right? Respect, kindness, love, empathy, and compassion. And that just really becomes very easy to do when we remember where our person is coming from.
I'm picturing our care partner in this situation. And I did a webinar once where we talked about having an agenda and how that can really mess things up when our agenda, our to-do list is too rigid. And for it, I'm picturing that care partner wanting to get all these tasks done because it's part of our daily routine. And you have to use this superpower, you really have to let that agenda, that to-do list, be flexible to account for the use of the superpower, because this takes you time. You have to stop and slow down and go into that, your loved one's reality, and be there with them. You can't just keep doing your chores, right? So you have to remember to allow for that time and that interaction and make that part of your daily routine.
Yeah, you do have to look at the bigger picture and realize that, you know, 15 years from now, you're not even going to remember that load of laundry that you thought was so crucial in that moment.
Exactly.
You're not going to give a rip that there were, you know, dishes from lunch in the sink. Who cares? But what you are likely to remember is that time where your dad was just really out of sorts and he seemed really upset and couldn't tell you exactly why, and just you stopped exactly what you were doing, everything, dropped everything, and just said, hey, come here. I feel like I need to remind you I love you and I'm here with you. and I'm on your team.
In our example, the care partner is in the reality, and they're validating their loved one's feelings, and they're there for them to give them that comfort and that support. And but how far does do we use that superpower? Do in the instance where we think the neighbor's spying on us or staring at us, do we take it to another step and go and investigate and come back with results that he was bird watching, or do we go to that level?
This is again where we stay in the moment, right? Because we need to be reading that instant feedback that we're getting, because sometimes just that message, whether you're giving it verbally or non-verbally, of, you know, I'm here with you, I'm going to protect you, and I'm on your side, sometimes that's enough. And then we move on to something else. Sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes that's a good first step. And then it's like, well, I'm really glad you're on my side. Now, what are we going to do about the neighbor? Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about that. And so if it were me, like how I would handle it is, you know, if that was the question back, like, well, Mom, that is a great question. What do you think we should do about it? Like, do you have any ideas? Kind of that, and that gives you a gauge kind of how important this is to your person and what they're thinking about it, right? And the more information that you can get from your person that gives you an indicator of kind of where they are in what they're thinking, the better able you'll be to come up with a good plan to manage whatever the situation is. So this example actually happened with a client who had the idea that a neighbor, her next door neighbor, was watching her all the time, and that he had a brain scanning machine. And he was constantly monitoring her. And the only way that she could disrupt the waves from the brain scanner that he had was to keep her TV on and her lights on. And this progressively got worse. And then the family asked for some assistance from me. And the family was out of state. And so I was able to go check out the situation. Like, you know, just because somebody has a diagnosis doesn't mean they shouldn't be believed, right? Because bad things, unfortunately, can still happen no matter what your medical situation. So no, he wasn't actually doing anything nefarious. That wasn't the issue. Not that I thought he had a brain scanning machine, but right. You know, you never know, right? Because some neighbors just aren't good neighbors. So ultimately, through this process of investigation and getting feedback from my client and what was going on, obviously she was becoming sleep deprived, right? And so that never helps anybody. Whether you're cognitively impaired or not, sleep deprivation can cause dementia-like symptoms. And so ultimately what ended up happening was the audiologist figured out what the underlying issue was. So yes, she did have Alzheimer's disease, but also she had tinnitus. And so a part of that at times can be, or tinnitus-like symptoms can be an auditory hallucinations.
Okay.
And then in her case, that had also become enmeshed with delusions. So she got, and she did have some hearing loss. So there's a whole hearing rehab process. This is a fascinating topic, but for a different show. She got hearing instruments that had a background noise. And you can choose from a variety of background noises, either white noise or wind chimes or birds or whatever, right? It's a little background noise. And what that does is makes your brain focus on that noise. So she wasn't hearing partial snippets of conversations and then coming up with her own conclusion, right? And this resolved the problem. So she did need to sleep with her hearing aids in and on, but it solved the problem. And so that was really huge. So yes, that was a great question. Like, sometimes there is some further action that needs to happen. Other times it's going to be just kind of an in the moment and you've resolved it.
Well, that was a pretty complex situation that I'm happy you were able to help resolve. I'm sure the family was very happy as well. And her, I mean,
her.
Now she can be in peace and feel better. So, So Christy, in past episodes, I think that you've said that part of the superpower, or maybe it's another superpower, is that you know your person better than anybody else.
That's the key right there. So I usually just, I kind of make it singular, like one superpower, but we really do have those two. And so it's the knowing your person, being the expert on your person, and then being able to step in the moment using your insider knowledge, right? And I always put it like this. Like, if you bring me your expert status on your person, all your insider knowledge, and we pair that with my dementia expertise, oh my gosh, what kind of win is that going to be for you and your person, right? It's going to be huge. Because now we're pairing two things that are exactly what you need for this situation. So I, of course, can come up with lots of great strategies for dementia in general. But then if we're able to dial down on exactly what the diagnosis is, and then the fact that your dad is a dog person but never a cat person, and your mom really hates coffee, and you know, when we start layering all of these unique things to your person, then we're coming up with an amazing plan, because it is specific to your person. What's important to them, what they really don't like, what completely rings their bell, and how we use all of that information in a way that is helpful for a person living with dementia, boom, that's huge. So and this could be any area of life, right? You always are going to know your person better than anyone else. And a lot of times, just because we've been married to someone for 50, 60 years, or because it's, you know, a parent we grew up with, we forget that we really are the expert. And that just, I mean, that is worth its weight in gold, because of all of the things that you know that you're probably just taking for granted. So, for example, you know, if you wanted to use your superpower and step into that moment, and let's again use the example of, you know, it's mom that thinks the neighbor is spying on her. Well, you know your mom really well. So is she going to respond well to humor? If that's the case, what if you said, oh, that neighbor, you don't worry about that, mom, I'll take care of him. Right? And then she's like, oh, honey, I knew you would. Thank you. And that's enough. Right? And it just depends on the person. And, you know, I've had clients like this too, where humor was just, that was key. Other clients are just very serious. And so it's going to need to be very earnest, right? Some people are very heartfelt. Some people are more superficial. And so, you know, just a little pat on the shoulder is going to be the reassurance that they're like, okay, everything's okay. And if you went to actually make eye contact and hug them and said something mushy, they'd be like, oh my God, am I dying? Because in our family, we don't do that, right? So again, just really knowing your person, you can use that to offer that reassurance, to manipulate that current reality into something that is safe and secure and feels good for them and is generating good feelings.
That's really great information, Christy. And I'm so happy we did this episode on using your superpower. And I hope our listeners out there really try this and learn to embrace it and make this part of the daily routine with their loved one. But so thanks again, Christy. Do you have any final thoughts before we close out today?
I'd just say, you know, don't ever forget the value of a single moment, because when you can step into your person's reality, and let them know that you've got them. You're going to make sure everything's okay. That really is the most awesome superpower in the whole universe.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's just great, Christy. So, all right, well, thanks again, Christy, and I look forward to our next episode together.
Me too. Thanks. Bye.
All right, bye now. This concludes our conversation with Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, right here on the Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. Be sure to check out the show notes for any mentioned resources or links at togetherinthis.com/episode 59. Bye now. You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.